This is the single most important moment in the history of college football. I don't think when the dust settles, whenever that is, it is going to be recognizable. The players really scare everyone right now. In spite of the lip service from everyone inside intercollegiate athletics, oh, we care so much about the player, we all know that's total BS.
It may indeed be a day like no other for college football. And you're forgiven if you have whiplash over the whole situation. Just last week, we were on track for some kind of college season. But today, the sport's biggest conferences are on the brink of canceling for fall 2020. Hear what's behind that about face and a player's view on whether the game's powers that be prefer cancellation or reform. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, August 11th. This is ESPN Daily. Adam Rittenberg, thank you for taking a little bit of time after what I assume is an incredibly chaotic day to chat with me.
Yeah, Pablo, it's great to be with you. It's a very historic and, like you said, wild and crazy time right now in college football as we figure out whether there'll be a season, and if there is, who will play.
Adam Rittenberg is scrambling to cover college football, including the Big Ten Conference, for ESPN. So, Adam, I want to start by rewinding a little bit, actually, from your perspective, what last week looked like. Because as of Friday, it kind of looked like we were going to have some college football. There was this path moving forward on that front. And so if you had to make a chart of how things stood last week, of who was in, who was out, who was on the fence for actually playing college football, what would that chart have looked like?
Yeah, it's like an optimism chart going back to March, but certainly, you know, even last week, I still felt fairly optimistic about the possibility of a season. We had UConn that announced on Wednesday that they weren't going to play, but they're an independent. They're not connected to these television contracts like others are, even these group of five leagues. And then Thursday and into Friday, you know, he was hearing from sources around the sport that, hey, this MAC meeting that was on Saturday, the Mid-American Conference, that was going to be significant. That there was a chance that at least one school was not going to play and others might be in the same boat, and that the whole league might decide at that point to postpone the fall season in football. It became clear that we were, heading a lot closer to a national postponement, or at least large groups of the college football leagues deciding not to play this fall.
And so, Adam, you and I are talking at about 6:05 p.m. Eastern time right now on a Monday. So what happened today? And, well, I guess, what was the first thing that happened today on your beat?
Well, you know, again, we reported ESPN and others that the Big Ten presidents were, strongly leaning towards postponing. That was on Sunday. And then, the news that broke overnight was significant, that this, hashtag we want to play movement, from Trevor Lawrence of Clemson and Justin Fields of Ohio State, some of the most prominent players in college football, were getting real traction. I mean, this was became the number one trending topic on Twitter for a little while. That was sort of the big story overnight. And then, today it's just monitoring, what's going on in the Big Ten. There's been reports that they've already canceled. That's not, at least as of this recording, that's not true. The Mountain West late this afternoon did decide to postpone their season. So that's the second FBS conference after the Mid-American to decide not to play football and other fall sports this year.
And you specifically cover the Big Ten. That's your beat. And that's the conference everyone seems to be waiting to see what move comes next. So what exactly, as we speak now, is happening with the Big Ten this evening?
Right. So it appears that the athletic directors are speaking. That's not a huge deal because they're talking all the time now in the league. But there's a sense of when there'll be a formal vote among presidents. That hasn't taken place. I haven't heard from any sources that a vote among presidents is imminent. But in theory, it wouldn't take very long for that to take place if the league was ready to move forward with a postponement. So I think the discussions now are regarding timing, whether the positions have changed around the conference. You've had a number of prominent coaches speak out about their desire to have a season. The Big Ten, Pablo, has always been a league, I've covered it for a number of years, that's been largely unified on the big topics. And I can't remember a time where you've had a group of presidents that seem ready to postpone for the most part, but then you have many others, loud voices in the league, like the coaches and like some of the players, saying this isn't right. You know, you can't do this. This is a wrong thing to do at this point. And so that's a unique spot for a conference that's always prided itself on, you know, equal revenue sharing and, you know, trying to be unified in its messaging.
So there were reports, Adam, about an informal vote among the university presidents in the Big Ten. What can you tell us about that vote?
The presidents met over the weekend, especially after the MAC decided to postpone its season. And, you know, we were told by sources that a large majority of the league did favor postponing. And people are wondering why, you know, what's changed. And we were told that, you know, one thing that's certainly on the radar of Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, who's a new commissioner, and the university presidents are some recent medical reports about the long-term effects of COVID-19, especially a certain heart conditions, including myocarditis, that are showing up in what one source told me was alarming numbers, even with some college athletes who have, you know, recovered from the virus but are still dealing with these issues. One thing, Pablo, that stood out to me just as this was happening over the weekend, this came from an athletic director in another conference, but he said to me about a month ago or so, watch the Big Ten and watch Michigan as far as how this discussion could go, because Michigan's president is an expert in this field. And this athletic director knew the resources that the Big Ten had on their campuses. You have a group of presidents that have incredible access to medical information because they have great medical schools, and some of them are experts in this field. And so that has factored into their thinking here as to, can we even go forward with discussions or practices or attempting to play a season with this now known that this can affect people in dramatic ways, potentially your career ending ways, life changing ways. That's I think what's changed some of the concern or heightened the concern about whether the season can be attempted.
So Michigan is a player behind the scenes on the medical background basis. But at Indiana, there's the case of Brady Feeney.
Yeah.
And could you tell me about his story and how it's influencing many of these decision makers?
So Brady Feeney is an incoming freshman offensive lineman at Indiana. And, you know, last week, his mother posted on Facebook, you know, basically just how everybody should be very concerned about COVID-19 and take all precautions, because her son, you know, Brady, had been dealing with complications after having COVID-19 earlier this summer. He's dealing with possible heart issues. Some blood work has shown some concerning signs, and, you know, his ability to, you know, get back to normal has not happened yet. You know, it was a very emotional post, understandably, and one that I'm told was very much on the radar of some of these key decision makers. A lot of people, whenever we bring up negative things around college sports, they throw out the general, well, nobody under 25 gets sick. Nobody dies. Look at the national data. In some ways, Pablo, the anecdotal data is more important here for these college presidents, because they can picture what could happen if there are 10 situations like Brady Feeney. And there may be more that we just don't know about. And their concern is, what if we proceed with the season and that number continues to increase and a lot more athletes are dealing with serious complications after recovering, quote unquote, from COVID-19.
So right now, the university presidents at the Big Ten and the Pac-12, the tea leaves are suggesting that they are leaning postponement. But the reporting out of the SEC and the ACC suggests the opposite, that they're actually pretty bullish about pushing ahead with a fall season, at least for right now. So with these other conferences canceling or postponing, is moving toward a fall season a tenable position for any conference at this point?
Well, I think we're going to find out. And I think, again, we don't know how the group of presidents are going to react if two groups that they certainly respect the Big Ten and the Pac-12 presidents decide we're not going to do this. I think there's a lot of respect in presidential circles for Big Ten presidents. I think a lot of presidents would like to be Big Ten presidents if they can't be Ivy League presidents because of the access they have, the prestige they have, the type of institutions they have. And so while I think it's certainly popular in SEC country, Big 12 country, ACC country to a degree to advocate, let's just push forward. We're going to be okay. We have great testing. I think there will be a different viewpoint from the presidential level in those leagues if the Big Ten and Pac-12 choose to go down this path. You know, as sources were telling us over the weekend, nobody wants to be the last one standing. Nobody wants to be left on an island. I think it's very, very difficult if leagues continue to drop out and you're down to two or three, and then maybe you're the last league standing. It's a very hard place to be ultimately. The next significant step is this Pac-12 president's meeting on Tuesday. The Big Ten does not want to be alone if it chooses to postpone, at least among the Power Five. And there's natural connections between the Big Ten and the Pac-12. I think ideally, if the Big Ten presidents maintain their position of postponing, they would like to do it in conjunction with the Pac-12. So that would be the next major event, but I would anticipate we'll have some news here in the next 24 hours.
Okay, coming up, we'll look deeper at how the players are reacting to this possible cancellation and what it says about the power they hold or don't hold in college football.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So as the news rolls out today, we've heard from coaches, college coaches, who have been so outspoken about wanting to play football in the fall. How have you perceived that kind of movement among coaches, and has there been a precedent for something like that?
Not to this extent. It certainly is coaches supporting players. I mean, they're realizing that where their players are at on this, and they want to play. I had a coach last night text me, "I'm just so sad about this." I mean, coaches want to try this, want to go forward, but they also aren't experts, and they're not university presidents that have the liability that those people have in terms of an entire campus. I just can't stress to you enough, Pablo, how unusual, at least as somebody who's covered the Big Ten, this is to see the division seemingly between the coaches and even the athletic directors and the presidents. Jim Harbaugh has made his position clear. Ryan Day has made his position clear. Scott Frost at Nebraska has made his position clear. But can this league, when this is all said and done, if it is going to postpone, present a more united front and a rationale for why it did this? I think that's going to be a real challenge here for first-year commissioner Kevin Warren.
Yeah, so college football is a very front-facing porch, as they say, for these universities. And the people who are the most front-facing on said porch are the coaches and the players. So what's happening with these players? Because there is this movement that is itself historic and that has taken a turn over the last couple of days.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the players want answers, understandably. And I think it certainly underscores, the lack of central leadership. because, you know, players are still asking nearly in mid-August, you know, about their safety and about communication and are we going to be okay? And then obviously if the season gets postponed, there's concerns, you know, are we all going to get kicked off campus and head home? I would hope these schools would take care of their players like they do throughout the offseason, like a normal spring. It would be reversed. The spring would become the fall and maybe the fall would become the spring. And there will be some difficult consequences, but I don't agree with the part about, well, the players are just not going to have anywhere to go if there's no football season and they're all going to get COVID and they're all going to be in real danger.
So could you explain how the whole We Want to Play movement came together? Because there was a previous movement of hundreds upon hundreds of athletes starting in the Pac-12 and spreading to the Big Ten and spreading to the Mountain West. And then overnight almost, we saw Trevor Lawrence take this leadership role in putting out a series of tweets about wanting to play with new insignias and logos around the movement. How would you characterize that?
Right. Well, until they spoke up and organized in the last few days, the voices that you'd heard from college football players were those in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the Mountain West about, you know, we are going to threaten to opt out of playing unless these conditions are met. And it was, you know, it was certainly historic, but it was a more adversarial movement. Whereas this group is saying, wow, they're on the verge of canceling our season. We need to step up and say, you know, we do feel comfortable. We want to play. Don't do this. And you're also having other players opt out and get ready for the NFL draft. You had prominent players like Micah Parsons of Penn State, Rashad Bateman of Minnesota, Rondale Moore of Purdue, and others, you know, saying that, you know, we're just not going to be part of this. So I think these players felt, wow, if we're going to have a season, we need to stand up and say how much we want that to happen.
So as the coaches and now players find themselves converging in terms of their interests, which is almost unthinkable given the tenor of the conversation around organizing athletes last week, now there is this "we want to play" messaging coming from all fronts. They're trying to thread a needle now where they were previously talking about sitting out if their demands were not met, and now they're talking about definitely wanting to play and those demands being met in order for them to do so. What do you make of the player's stance here, given that perceived dissonance?
It's difficult to have both in a sense. You know, the players coming out with, you know, especially the Pac-12 players with so many, you know, demands ranging from health and safety around the virus and the pandemic to racial injustice initiatives to protections as far as eligibility. And then obviously the revenue piece, which, you know, didn't seem to generate a very good reaction from the league. And so, you know, you take that position and then now you're aligning with the We Want to Play group, which, you know, still has some things it would like to discuss, but its biggest driver is we want to play. We want to have a season. Don't cancel our season. And again, the question of leverage has come up a lot at this time. A lot of people saying that players have never had more leverage than they do because the powers that be are trying to push the season through amid a pandemic. What happens if there is no season? What does that do to the leverage? What does that do to the discussions that are being had in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and some of these other conferences around issues that clearly matter to the players and things that they want to see changed?
Another complication is the fact that, very unlike the NFL, these players are quote unquote amateurs. So what kinds of difficulties does that amateur label introduce?
Well, I think the biggest thing, at least for the time being, is everyone's asking, you know, why can't college sports be in a bubble? Why, you know, we've seen the success of the NBA and the NHL, and that's been a non-starter because you can't put, again, student athletes, amateur athletes in a bubble without allowing them to bargain and have demands met and really have a say in how it would be. You're removing them from the other students who are on campus. So that's one thing here. I think whenever you bring up revenue, that's a subject that is not going to get solved here before the start of a theoretical season. It's a much more complicated discussion, but one that, you know, is certainly worth having at this time. I think there's all sorts of liability concerns right now. You know, even if there's a spring season and you're asking the non-seniors to have two competitive seasons in a calendar year, how can you do that and still call them amateurs? I mean, there was a question about waivers because some schools were requiring the athletes to sign pledges or you know, they maybe in some cases full-on waivers. And then the NCAA says, no, you can't do that. Yeah, the employee non-employee blurring or the amateur professional blurring, I should say, is definitely a big part of where we're at right now.
And meanwhile, Adam, these college presidents and commissioners are getting pressure all over the place, including now from President Donald Trump, who retweeted Trevor Lawrence's "We Want to Play" tweet saying the student athletes have been working too hard for their season to be canceled, and also tweeting "Play college football!" exclamation point. And also multiple Republican politicians have taken this as a campaign issue in some sense. They're making statements in support of playing this fall. So how do you see all of this playing out here? Does that sort of pressure, the political pressure, external and internal, does that stuff have an effect?
Well, I can't say it doesn't, because we've seen it before. We saw it around realignment, you know, in terms of which schools were going to join a different conference and how politicians stepped in, especially surrounding the Big 12 and what was going to happen in that particular conference. And so, you know, we talked earlier about the presidential role and all the things that go into their thinking. You know, they can't ignore when, you know, prominent lawmakers or politicians in their area, you'll speak up about this. But I don't think it can ultimately, it can't be the deciding factor. At least that's what I've been told, you know, that the presidents ultimately have to look at all the information, including the medical information. But it absolutely is part of this, that you're having, you know, the president, you're having senators, you're attorney generals. There was a Nebraska senator that has written a letter to the Big Ten presidents urging them not to cancel the season and outlining at least his position, his rationale. That's where we're at right now. I mean, this is a sport that historically has been politicized and is being politicized again. And it's, again, part of the calculus for these presidents as they ultimately have to decide what to do.
Adam, thank you so much for joining us today, and I wish you luck in trying to get all those phone calls returned.
Will do. Thanks, Pablo. Appreciate it.
Coming up, what's a college player thinking amid all this back and forth? Cal offensive lineman Valentino Del Toso shares his side.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So much of the undercurrent to all this will-they-won't-they talk is that college football players are finally realizing and acting upon the power of their collective voice. It started when over 400 players from the Pac-12 unified around a list of demands for their conference, becoming a movement which has since spread throughout the Power Five. So no matter what happens this fall, the role of the student athlete is changing. But there is still the matter of what actually happens this fall. To learn how the players are feeling about all of this, I caught up with one of the guys who first organized the movement, Cal offensive lineman Valentino Del Toso. So Valentino, it's about 3 p.m. on Monday afternoon right now, and so far, today has brought a hurricane of news and rumors about the Big Ten and also your conference, the Pac-12, canceling their fall football seasons. How are you staying up to date on everything that is literally and figuratively breaking right now?
Yeah, I mean, Twitter's huge. I'm sure that's where most people get their stuff from. Constant communication with guys across our conference and other conferences and what they're hearing and stuff. But yeah, I mean, we're hearing stuff just as soon as other guys hear it too. So it's really just kind of, you know, we're taking it in stride.
Among those taking to Twitter on the subject was Donald Trump, who tweeted, quote, "The student athletes have been working too hard for their season to be canceled. Hashtag we want to play," end quote. And his tweet included the graphic that listed all the changes that you players are asking for. So what was your reaction when you saw that the president of the United States had weighed in?
I saw that tweet this morning and I was like, what? I mean, I don't know if he knows exactly what he's endorsing here, but we kind of laughed. Obviously, we have a huge group chat. Somebody threw it in there and the first thing was like, does he know exactly? Did he read what was put in there? He might have just endorsed a workers union right there, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how much, a tweet really holds weight. So, you know, for me, it's just kind of, you know, we got to keep working. And at the end of the day, it just comes down to players being unified.
And on that subject, you've been involved with a campaign around the hashtag We Are United, which recently converged with another group of players who are using the hashtag We Want to Play. So now you have some of the sport's biggest names across all these conferences, and Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, now at the forefront, working in unison with you guys. How did that happen?
I mean, we are united. You know, we never said we don't want to play. I want to play. I'm a football player. I know all these other guys are. And then the guys tweeting that we want to play, you know, they never said we don't want to be united. And it's really a big step, you know, us coming together and doing that, you know, reaching out across conferences and talking to some of the, you know, a lot of those guys that, you know, tweeted out we want to play and basically like, you know, hey, we're on the same page. No matter what goes on through this entire thing, like as long as we're tight and we're all on the same page, right? You know, the power is ours.
The focus of this coalition that you've built, that you guys have built across conferences, is kind of currently trained on the NCAA's handling of the pandemic and the safety and health protocols across the sport. So what are you guys asking for on that front?
I think first and foremost, like if we want to have a football season, we need to have mandates, not guidelines when it comes to health and safety. There's no sports league in the world right now that is able to operate, you know, without intense measures put in. And I don't think that should change, you know, for college sports. So first and foremost, that's the number one most pressing issue. If we want to play, we need uniform mandates across all teams. And then two, I think getting the players a voice, right? And whatever that means, right? Having a players association moving forward, I think it's so important, right? I think what coronavirus and this whole situation has really, really brought to light is that the players don't have a say. And we think moving forward that needs to be a huge, huge change in how, you know, college athletics operate. But I think for right now, if we have any shot of having a season, I think the health and safety stuff needs to be implemented today.
Does it seem when you are evaluating the response from the powers that be in college football, does it seem like they're interested in reform?
No. just to be frank, I mean, it works for some people, right? And it's hard. I think that a lot of people are excited about, you know, the idea of players being more active and having more of a say in their stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it might not come from, you know, social pressure. It's going to come from, you know, the players being together and really putting their foot down and saying we need a voice in this thing.
Does it seem like the powers that be in question are more interested in cancellation of the season than reform?
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, a lot of, you know, other places are working. I think that if it wasn't about the money, I think the season, you know, might have been canceled long ago, or that, you know, more intense safety measures would have been put in place long ago. I think the idea of the players coming together is a little bit of a scary idea for some people, but I think it's the right thing. It needs to happen, and I think it inevitably will happen.
If college football gave up the pretenses of amateurism in the ways that you guys are demanding, meaning you can form a union, you can negotiate pay and protections for healthcare and stuff like that. What's different about this negotiating dynamic right now in terms of the concerns about the virus that you guys have?
Yeah, I think if the amateurism stuff was cleared and I think we could sit at the table as you know, partners in this whole thing, I think we could move forward and find some really creative ways in trying to have a football season. Because I think a lot of guys really want to play. And the NFL is moving forward, you know, and they, you know, they did the same thing with their players, right? That was a discussion that they had. And okay, how together are we going to move forward? But when you're dealing with amateur athletes, right? Because that's, you know, that's the label, you know, that is given. You're basically, you know, your hands are tied. I think we would be able to work something out and have a successful, at least a really good attempt at a successful football season, which I think everyone wants. I mean, again, we really want to play football here, but I think it's hard when amateurism is sitting right there.
If later today it's announced that Pac-12 football is canceled, how do you think you'll feel?
Obviously, I think for me and my teammates, we'd be sad. I think, like, I don't know if people always understand the amount of work that gets put into to prepare and have a football season, and it's almost kind of empty feeling that much effort was put in and that it could all just kind of be washed away. If the season does get canceled, I don't think that what we're doing and advocating for players having a voice, I don't think it ends. And I think for a lot of guys, they feel really strongly about this. And, you know, this is really only the beginning. This isn't something that's going to go away if the season just gets postponed to spring, right? There's still concerns. And I know, I think, like, what this has highlighted ultimately is the players do need a voice and guys are willing to put their foot down and fight for that.
Valentino, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate you sharing your perspective amid all of the madness in your life.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.